got somebody.
One of the favorite football players of all time
is a quarterback.
I know everybody now is saying, I'm going to say Tom Brady, but I'm not, because Tom Brady's still playing, so he wouldn't have done what I'm getting ready to tell you about. But I'm going to tell you about one that was named Brett Favre. Anybody know Brett Favre? Ever heard Brett Favre? Used to quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Minnesota Vikings, I think. He was also part of them for a little bit. He threw for a few yards in his career. And then one day, as he played for so many years, he got older. Amen. Y'all know what happened to him?
He had to quit playing.
Amen. Not so much because his body couldn't do it. He lost the passion for it. He lost his passion for the game. I've known people that have worked at the same job for 15, 20 years, and then one day they go in and they go, "Huh, I think it's my last day." What? You can't quit. You haven't got the retirement requirements yet. And their response is basically, "I don't care about the retirement qualifications. I've lost my passion for what I'm doing. I've lost my passion for my job. I'm going to do something else." It's boring. No matter how much money you're making, when you lose your passion for it, it gets boring real fast. And you don't want to get up. You don't want to go into the office or wherever you're working from nowadays, home. You just want to go, I got to find something else to do. Amen? Hey, I know preachers that have preached for years and years. And then all of a sudden, come into the board meeting one day, look at the church board members. How you doing? How you doing? And they're at home. The pastor says, "This is my last Sunday." What? No warning? No nothing? No clues to the board coming up or anything like that? They lost their passion. Their passion for the pastors for preaching the word of Christ was taken away from them. Or they let it go. One of the two. Hey, I know people that have done it and then regretted doing it. They have regretted quitting whatever they were doing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How many of y'all know somebody that's lost a passion for something? How many of y'all have lost a passion for something you're doing? Some of it could be schoolwork. Some of it could be a passion for learning more about what you're trying to educate yourself about so that you can get one of those jobs that you can retire from. Hey, guess what? Jobs that we can retire from nowadays, are a lot less frequent and available than what they were when we were growing up. When we were growing up, you had this thing called, y'all may have heard of this, job security. As long as you wanted to stay there, as long as you still had a passion for it, the company kept the job there for you.
Unless you just wasn't completely working at all. Then they get rid of you one way or the other. Right? But nowadays, there's not a lot of companies that you can have true job security with. A lot of them now have taken away their 401ks or pension plans that they help fund. And they're like, "Oh, wait a minute. That's not the same company I had. That's not the same company I had." And you lose a passion for it. It's like, "Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to do that no more." So how many of y'all know somebody like that? How many at home give me an amen if you know somebody, or if you have lost your passion for something that you're doing? Oh, guess what? We're going to talk today about a different type of passion. Amen? We're going to talk today not about a sports passion, not about a job passion, a professional passion, not about a school passion, Not about a classmate passion. Amen. We're going to talk about what kind of passion? Spiritual passion. We're going to talk about your spiritual passion. How many of you have or know somebody that's lost their spiritual passion? That you can see it in their eyes or in the way that they act when they come to church or don't come to church. They've lost their passion to get more spiritual goodness and mercy and grace from God. Amen. One time they were close to God. One time we might have been close to God. Amen. We were growing spiritually. We were staying in the Word every day. Hey, that's one thing. When you're a Christian and you lose your spiritual passion, you stay out of the Bible. You don't get into it like you used to. And you don't grow every day. Amen. One point they knew God was working. One point we may have knew God was working, but we've lost that. They sense His presence every day. Now, with a lack of spiritual passion, they don't sense Him as much as what they used to. Amen. They've lost the passion. They've lost the intimacy. For y'all older people, they've lost the intimacy to God and to Jesus. They've lost their faith. Maybe it's you I'm talking about. You've lost your faith. Those that are watching at home, have you lost your faith? Somebody in your household that you know, or in your family, close friends or work that you know that's lost their faith. Amen? I will tell you a little bit. When I got saved, I was not expecting Jesus to move like He did. I got saved. Y'all will die when y'all hear this. Some of y'all probably won't even know who this group is. But I got saved at an Imperials concert. How many of y'all ever heard of the group The Imperials? Somebody? How about at home? Remember, I don't even know if they're still around. But there was an Imperials concert in Charleston. That's where I got saved. And God changed the passion that I had to a godly walk rather than my walk and the passions that I had. Because the passions that I had up until that point was centered around where? Centered around who? Centered around me. And what I wanted to happen, what I wanted to get done, what I wanted to have at the end of the day. Amen? Not so much what God wanted for me or where He wanted me or how He wanted me to act. When I found Him, when I got saved, I changed my attitude. I changed my talk. Now, I didn't change my playing ball. Hey, it is okay to serve Jesus and still play athletics. Amen? Because one reason, you're going to meet a lot of more people on that ball field that don't know Jesus that you can tell Him about when you got that passion in your heart that He gives you when you get saved. Amen? When He called me to be a pastor, I said, y'all remember what I said? No! It ain't happening. You might have put a passion in my heart, but that passion was to be a preacher. That passion didn't say nothing about being a pastor. There is two different things in those. Amen? A preacher goes around from different church to church and preaches messages, don't he? Kind of like an evangelist. But a pastor has a lot more responsibilities. Now, you can still have the same passion for Christ, but do the different jobs, different responsibilities. But I said, nope. That ain't what you called me for. That ain't the passion you had on me at that time. And God said, I can change my mind. I'm God. I can tell you to go anywhere I want you to go. Amen. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I listened to Him. I really am, because I don't know where I would be if I didn't follow that extra step in my life. Amen. But He's kept that passion in me. And I pray that it's in me as long as I'm alive. until he takes me home, I pray that I have the passion that I do now. And again, like I said, you can still play ball. I played softball every summer
until about 6 years ago. After I quit playing, my body started falling apart. Now I can't hardly get up in the morning. My bones hurt. My ankles hurt. I had something that was called, y'all may have heard this, plantar fasciitis. Oh yeah, that hurts like the bottom of your muscle in your foot. Oh,
worst thing in the world.
But my passion for playing was so much that I'd still go out and play even though I know it hurt while I was playing.
And the next morning, it was hard to get out of bed. But you can still do that and still live for God. Amen. That's called separating yourself from the world and the people that are around you. And when they see that change, because most of them knew me before I got saved. When they see that change, it's like, oh, man, look at the passion he's running with that now. Look at the change that's made in him. Amen. Instead of complaining about it, we enjoy it. We enjoy the ride. We have joy in our heart. Amen. So again, your title today is Get Your Passion Back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. Lord, and everyone that's joining us online today, Jesus. Lord, I ask you as always, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may it be your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Your word and not mine, Jesus. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord, about getting our passion back for you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. We got to have enthusiasm. When we have passion about Christ, we have enthusiasm about it, don't we? We want to tell somebody whatever our passion is, whether it's Christian or personal walk, we want to tell somebody about it, don't we? We want to joyfully tell them. We don't want to be dopey, grim, and gloom. And go, oh, well, let me tell you. No. No, we're excited about it, aren't we? We're enthusiastic about it. Amen? Today we're going to talk about two types of people. The first one is this. Those who let circumstances influence their enthusiasm. Those who let circumstances influence their enthusiasm. And the second one is those who use their enthusiasm to influence their circumstances. Ooh, that's pretty good, isn't it? Entheos. Entheos. Y'all like that word? Entheos. In God. Meaning filled with God. That's the passion that we should have each and every day that we wake up. We should be in God and filled with Him each and every day. We should have an intimacy, a born intimacy with God when we accept Him as our Savior and love Him each and every day. We should have that natural intimacy with Him. But if we start losing our passion, we'll start losing that intimacy, right? Your first scripture today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58, it says this, NLT version. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong. Be what? Be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing we do, you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing we do for God will ever be useless. But I'm going to tell you what. Everything you do for Satan is useless. Amen. When we walk outside of God's will, when we walk in the world, when we walk in Satan's path, everything that we're doing is useless. You wake up in the morning feeling what? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. What did I do last night? I shouldn't have done all that. You feel like poopy, don't you? You don't feel good. You get depressed. You get upset. You get anxiety. When we're living for Satan, when we're walking with Satan, we don't see a way out of our lives. We see our lives as completely useless. Amen. I'm glad I got a God that sent a Jesus for me to tell me how useful I am. Amen. We got to work enthusiastically. We got to do it for the Lord. Not for ourselves. Not for any lie that Satan's going to tell you. Because every word out of Satan's mouth is what? A lie. Amen. Give me an amen at home if you're here with us. Every word out of Satan's mouth is a lie. It's not what makes you, or I'm sorry, it's not what you do that makes it meaningful. It's who you do it for. Amen. If we do it for God, it's going to be a lot more meaningful for us. We're going to have a lot more passion for it. We're going to be a lot more enthusiastic for it. Amen. If we do it for Satan, it ain't going to have no meaning at all. Amen. We got to work for the Lord. When we do, it transforms something mundane into something very meaningful. Amen. It transforms our daily walk from just getting by to living high with the sight of heaven. Amen. From mundane to meaningful. We got to get away and stop letting Satan make us depressed people. We got to stop letting him lie to us and tell us that we're worthless and useless. Because I don't know about you, but Satan tells me that lie almost every day. Sometimes 300 times a day. Amen. But guess what? That is a lie. That is a lie. We are not useless, are we? We're not pathetic. We're not depressed. Amen. Depression does not come from God. That's why Jesus saved us. Amen. Was to allow us to be happy. To allow us to have joy in our hearts when we wake up every morning. So when we look at somebody that's doing something, we got to look at them like, what's she doing? What's she doing? Then we got to look at that second part. Who's she doing it for? Because I know we know, and y'all know, some Christians that do it just to be seen. Not to do it in a true, enthusiastic way for the Lord, but just to be seen. Because they want to do it basically for themselves. Amen? Enthusiasm is not a product of environment as much as posture of our hearts. You can have it. Amen? You can have enthusiasm. You can have passion in your heart. And we can lose it. We can lose it in a heartbeat. Amen? By an action that we take. A thought that we put in our head. Or a Satan dart that we allow to get by all of our armor and protection. Amen? We're going to talk about something here. One of the most passionate, spiritually changed, and enthusiastic people in the Bible. Let me say that again. One of the most passionate, spiritually charged, and enthusiastic people in the Bible. Person in the Bible. Y'all know where I'm going? David. Amen. David was surely one of the most enthusiastic, spiritually charged, passionate people in the Bible. He was a little boy. And he still had that passion for God that passion for Christ. Amen. And what happened? What happened with that passion he had? He went from little boy to big old king. Amen. David went from a little boy, grew up to be a king. Amen. He had spiritual enthusiasm for that to happen to him. Amen. And then what happened? He lost it. He lost that enthusiasm. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 and 46, the NIV version says this. David said to the Philistine, y'all remember this? Y'all remember this story at home? David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," everybody say this day. Everybody type it home, "this day. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." I don't know about you, but the Philistine was pretty big, wasn't he? Especially compared to David. Little tiny David going to make that threat. "Cut off your head. This very day." Not later on, right? "But this very day, I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Amen. Little kid. I'm sure Philistine was sitting there going, "Look at you, little boy. What are you doing? What's he going to send you back? I'm going to send you back crying to mama. Crazy guy. Cry, little baby. Cry, little baby." I'm sure Philistine was, I'm sure he was scared. Probably not, was he? Probably not. David was not that big. But he had God on his side. Didn't he? He had enthusiasm of God on his side. He had the passion of God on his side. He had spiritual enthusiasm on his side. And I'm sure David, when he said that, that was 100% what was on his heart and mind. I doubt, he had no doubt in that statement fulfilling whatsoever. It wasn't human confidence, was it? David's confidence wasn't human confidence. It was raw. It was unparalleled spiritual passion. Enthos. It was God. Amen. Where did David's enthusiasm come from? Where did it come from? It came from all the days he spent preparing for that day to meet that Philistine. It came from getting ready to charge that giant and not a second thought in his mind about what the outcome was going to be. Even though he had nothing compared to the equipment that the Philistine had. He had nothing compared to the height that the Philistine had on him. But it was true, raw enthusiasm. Well, he was going to charge that giant no matter what, because he knew that God would take care of him. He knew that God was the God of Israel and of that kingdom at that time. Amen. He grew up, that enthusiasm came from this. He trusted God daily. David trusted God daily. He had all kinds of things going on in his life, didn't he? He had God in the bear's den. He had a lion in the bear's den. He grew up through that. And what happened? God delivered him. Amen? God delivered him. He had Saul being all mean to him, coming after him. What happened? God delivered him. God delivered him daily. So David's spiritual enthusiasm comes from that daily walk he had with God. He trusted him daily. He walked with him daily. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. Amen. He didn't just go to Sunday church with him. Amen. He went to church every day with God. He lived every day and walked every day with him. He didn't just come on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. He was there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sometimes twice a day. He was in the Word. He prayed. He prayed to God. Amen. And what happened? God answered him. He worshiped God daily. And by worshiping Him daily, he sensed His presence. He felt the presence of God all day long. He even served somebody using the gifts that God had given him. Amen. Trusting God. He walked with God. He worshiped God. He was filled with God. And that's two reasons that the kid and the future king ran into battle together. Because he knew God would take care of him. Amen. Kings go off to war, don't they? Well, they used to. Now they just sit and push buttons behind pulpits somewhere. But back then, they all ran into battle together. Kings would go off to war. Amen. With enthusiasm, David, as a kid, ran into every battle to serve God. Amen. The battles that David was going to wasn't for his glory. They were for God's glory. To serve our Almighty God. Amen. And as a king, with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. He lived a godly life. He was passionate about God, enthusiastic about God every day. Amen. But he lost that passion. He lost it with God, the enthusiasm, that is. He lost it as a king. How does that happen? How does a man who has such enthusiasm as a kid lose it as his king? Tell you what, he did what a lot of us do today. He took his eyes off of the calling that God had put on there and put it on his comfort rather than the call that God sent to him. What best represents us today? Are we still walking with our eyes on our calling? Or are we walking in our own comfort? Amen. Are we charging into spiritual battle? Are we comfortable? Or are we comfortable? Are we complacent? Are we just showing up for church to be a number counted on Sunday? Amen. Or are we showing up to be the church? Psalm 51, 10 and 12 says this. NIV version says this. David cried out in the psalm. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Ooh, I don't know about you, but that's a man after God's own heart. That's not a man after his own heart and his own purposes. Amen. So I ask you today, where's your heart? Is it after God's heart or is it after your heart? Jesus said this to the church in Ephesus. Revelation 2, 4 and 5, NIV says this. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent." Everybody holler, repent. Repent. Everybody at home type repent in the comments. Repent and do the things that you did at first. We didn't lose it. Amen. That church didn't lose it. They left it. Amen. Just like us. We didn't lose our passion. We left our passion. It's time to get it back. Amen. We walked away from our passion. God is not going to take our passion away. Only we are going to do that to ourselves. Amen. We got to trust in it. We got to walk in it. We got to worship back into it. Amen. So you're two types of people. Circumstances influences enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is not a product of our environment, but a posture of our heart. Think about how enthusiasm could change us and change the climate around your home, your school, your workplace, wherever you might be. Amen. Where you serve God, do you serve God in your job? Do you do your best? Do you leave it all on the field, as we were talking about sports earlier? That can be a spiritual battle too, leaving it all on the field. Do you leave it all there? Or do you try to hold something back for yourself? Do you try to get into the comfort zone rather than scoring in the end zone all the time? When you get home, are they excited to see you? Amen. Do you want to go to church? Do you want to go to church every day? Can't wait for church. Amen. I know people that grew up in church forever. And at some point, they've allowed their passion to walk away from them. And they don't want to go today. They'll come up with any excuse you can think of not to show up at church. We got to pray for those people to allow their passion to come back. Because again, they didn't lose their passion. They left their passion. Amen. How do we keep to our passion? How do we not struggle? Amen. Just like on the softball team. How do your team keep its passion? How does it keep not struggling? Most of the time it takes practice, don't it? You gotta go out and do something to get better at what you were doing. Same thing with our Christian walk. Same thing with that enthusiasm and that passion. It takes practice. We gotta be in the Word of God every day. We gotta be walking where He wants us to walk and not where we want to show up. Amen. Hey, I still have times where I do what I want, where I want to show up. I'm human. Amen. I'm human. We all are. But we can't let it, even if we do that every once in a while, we can't leave that passion that God has given us. But I thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus. Amen. We got to cry out to God. And if we've lost our passion, well, let me rephrase that. If we left our passion, because remember, we can't lose it. We can only leave it. If you left your passion, we got to cry out to God today. Amen. As they come for the final song, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for all You do today, Lord. Lord, I again thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Lord, for speaking through me, Lord, not my words, Lord, but Yours, Jesus. Lord, I ask You just open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message of the passion, of getting our passion back today, Lord. Lord, that You would put a new and more fiery passion in our hearts today, Lord. Lord, that we would want to be with You each and every day, Lord. Lord, that we would want to grow with You each and every day, Lord. Lord, that we would want to worship You each and every day, Lord. Lord, as David did, Lord. Lord, we know that there's still, we're still human, so there's still possibility that we can lose that or leave that from time to time. Lord, I ask You, just any time we get close to that, Lord, that You would remind us of this message today, Lord. Lord, that we would keep our passion, we would keep our joy, Lord. We would keep our enthusiasm, Jesus. Lord, I ask you just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, if we can tell how amazing your love is, Lord. Lord, and how much it changed our lives, Lord. Lord, and the passion that they give us for you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.